Gosh, if with that sort of being a value, at what point, coming from your lineage and from your training, did you get to a point where you started to own what you did or what you do, what you practice? What was the point in which you went, okay, so I'm doing the Chinese martial arts, I'm doing swordsmanship, I'm doing the Tang Soo and all these other things. When did you get to a point where you stopped trying to emulate and you started to create in yourself what you wanted to have in terms of martial arts, if indeed you that's what you're doing?
Well, that's a good question. I've always cross-trained. I think it's probably just my ADD brain. I get bored. But I mean, I started the first martial art that I ever started learning was Italian stick work with my grandfather. And I did that for, I don't know, a little while before I started doing Tang Soo. And I was 10, I think, when I started doing Tang Soo. And while I was doing Tang Soo at my first school, we had a judo, a German exchange student, but he was a brown belt, I think, in judo. And I became his uke for the 3 months or however long it was that he was here. And that was a ton of fun. I loved judo. There wasn't a good judo school around. I really wanted to continue it afterwards, but I came close to going to a judo school that was really far away, but we couldn't afford it. But then, I started doing sword in high school. I started doing Tai Chi Chuan in high school. I think I was a senior in high school when I started working with Arnold Lee, and I was hungry, I was just that person. I was hungry, and but still, I was young. I didn't really realize that it was all the same for a while. There was a moment, probably. I was, let's see here. We moved from Western Pennsylvania to South Carolina in 2012. I started teaching at a martial arts school here in town, but their main style was JKD. It was Jeet Kune Do. It was a Dan Anasanto lineage, and so I became accustomed or whatever with JKD, Wing Chun, Kali, BJJ, combat submission wrestling. And it got to that point where I started to realize that difference really is only you use focus pads and you wear, sweatpants and a t-shirt, but you kick very similar to us. Muay Thai as well. I would spar with the Muay Thai guys all the time. And they, their kicks were very similar. Their footwork was sort of different, but really not a whole lot to the point where I couldn't say, like, yeah, I've done that before, So I would say probably my experience teaching at the Jeet Kune Do school really kind of opened my mind to the fact that there isn't just one way, and it's more about where no, I don't want to copy Bruce Lee, but it's not that there's no way. It's just that the way is beyond you. It's bigger than you. You don't have a choice, right? Because you move your arm like this, and you move your shoulder like this, right? Like Dan Anasanto's, I think, famous for saying, like, unless you have three arms, you can't fight me differently than somebody who has two arms. So if you run into somebody with three arms, run, right? But this idea that the way, right? Hwangi calls it like Sado. It's this way. He sometimes uses this term when he talks about the martial art. He doesn't specifically use Hangzhou all the time. Sometimes he'll just refer to it as this way.
Right.
And, you know, if you drive a car off a cliff, I don't care what kind of car it is.
Mm.
It's, you know, they is that way. Right. So when we do martial, it doesn't matter what style you do. It's just, you know, the way you either are in harmony with it or you're not. And if you're not in harmony with it, you're going to get injured. You're going to be weak. It's just not going to work very well. It's not going to be very efficient. And that's why I really, really like going back to what I was saying before, is going back to those basics. Just looking at how the body moves efficiently, functionally. Because when you, so in Tai Chi Chuan, there's this idea where as soon as you touch the person, they are no longer separate from you. If you can create good song, if you can create good, you know, structure and be able to listen, have good ting, be able to actually like they become you. And so all you do is move you and it moves them. So you have that harmony with this thing that is outside of you, seemingly outside of you, right? But the way works. And all you have to do is make a structure. And this is something that I say a lot, and I'm going to copyright it. The secret to good martial arts is to create a structure that is in harmony with your center, and then move your center. That's it.
Ooh, I don't know if you can copyright that, because I'm so close to stealing that right now. I might just erase.
I said it first.
That is a diamond.
That's it. Yeah. That's the key. And having that harmony, right? Having that harmony means that you're in the way.
Mm.
And so it doesn't matter what style you do, mm. right?
Mm. Well, it's a thing of, I think people bring stylistic biases in, you know, like, some styles kind of tout themselves as a particular thing, as the strongest, the biggest, the baddest, you know, the meanest, the most trade effective, the most traditional, and all these sorts of things, which I kind of, at times, I think it kind of creates this idea that you have to prove that you're something, perhaps that it's not so much something you're not, but, you know, if when I meet you, so we sit down and it's like when you meet those people who stand on their tiptoes when they talk to you because you're taller than them, or they stand, mm-hmm. you know, that, or there's always a status thing. And I think when you were talking, you know, as a martial artist, I think that you have to take ownership of what you do and why you do it. I think that I'm older than you. So as this poor lighting proves, but I think I've entered a space where the nature of why I train might be a little bit different. The nature of what mm-hmm. I'm trying to do for myself, I guess I'm trying to understand certain aspects within myself. How do you use martial arts in your life, and how have you used this, your study of martial arts in your life, in more than just the combat aspect? What where does it kind of sit, and what is it kind of garnered in terms of your life?
Oh God, it's everything. Much to my wife's chagrin, martial arts is everything. I really struggle sometimes when people talk about applied martial arts or practical martial arts or you know, whatever, because those terms can be so ambiguous based on who you are and based on your need. I like to classify five different kinds of martial arts. And I'll talk about me afterwards, but And there's a reason for that.
Hey, kia ora, guys. So I just wanted to take a moment and ask you a question. Do you, like me, struggle at times to find all those little things that sort of make promotions and the dojo feel just that little bit special? I always like to have the kind of certificates when I'm promoting people or grading and so on and so forth. They're just a little bit different, a little bit personalized, and kind of more a reflection of our dojo than my personal belief that there's a lot of templates out there that, whilst they may be correct, they're not probably as personalized as I like them. Well, today, if you use the coupon code Invisen, INVISEN, you can get 10% off custom scrolls, chops, certificates and logos, everything dojo needs. So the link is www.danbernardo.com, and I'll put a link in the description. Now, I asked him if I could do this because I really enjoy his work and I'm ordering some as well. So yeah, have a look at it, check it out, and you make that, make your dojo just that little more special and a little more customized with your very own customized calligraphy or certificate or logo, because he does great stuff. Anyway, enough of my yabba. Let's get back to the conversation.
So the five classifications of martial arts that I like to use are sport martial arts. So these are your, you know, if you're competing, right? So judo, taekwondo, fencing, boxing, archery, right? Like, you know, if you're competing, this is a sport, right? Then there is fitness martial arts. So sport martial arts, you know, your main goal is to win, right? Fitness martial arts, your main goal is to get into shape. You don't care about defending yourself. You don't care about competing. You don't care about reading history and learning a new language and learning a new culture, blah, blah, blah. You just care about getting fit, right? The third one is classical martial arts. Classical martial arts, these are the guys, right? So they care about the culture. They care about preserving some form of tradition and lineage. And, you know, they make sure that they understand where their path came from, how they're moving forward. But still, classical martial arts, I would consider a functional martial art. Like, these guys, they're still going to be able to defend themselves. They're still going to be able to use their martial art efficiently. Then we have tactical martial arts. Tactical martial artists, these are the guys who care really nothing other than, am I going to get home to my family? Right? These people are your military guys, your LEOs, your bodyguards. Like, they use this stuff. They don't have time to worry about anything other than, will it work and will I get home? And the last one are LARPers, live action role players. Sadly, I think that most martial arts schools in the world are this, right? These are people who care about titles and ranks and putting on their costume and making sure people bow to them and all this stuff, but they really can't use it